Chapter 4. This chapter furthers our work to close the research to practice gap. In this chapter, I hope to add to the application of fathering literature for instances in which the father is absent from the family. And again, we'll work to enrich and further the systemic framework for working with fathers and families. And hopefully I can help broaden the perspective of working with fathers or working with adolescents and their families where fathers are not available. So, first off, when considering father absence, we need to know why the father is absent from the family. As many reasons, I think, as there are absent fathers in some ways, but they tend to fall in some general categories that we'll go back through our decision tree of when to involve fathers in therapy and talk about some of those absences and sort of the general categories of why fathers may or may not be present. When looking at father absence in families, it becomes important to identify surrogate male role models and mom support network. And we need to be able to find out how this mother is gaining her support, where she is getting that from. And that will become a large part of helping to buffer for dad's absence and tapping into mom's resources to see how she may already be doing some of that. Father absence literature began in World War II era, in which this was kind of the first time in American history when there was a large exodus of men and researchers available to study the effects of that absence. And so with that curiosity, with that event and women entering the workforce in a much greater numbers, researchers found several very interesting things about the effects of father absence on families. Primarily, and this is an ongoing theme in today's literature as well, particularly literature which is focused on the deficit perspective of fathering and when it's compared to mothering. But what those researchers found was that, and subsequent researchers, of course, father's absence had several effects on families. First of all, women who didn't have other means of income that were significant, and that was somewhat rare in those times. Remember that women only recently have begun to be compensated close to what men are for the same work. And there weren't a lot of women in administrative roles or some of the higher paid positions in the workforce, if any. So that was one thing, was an increase in poverty and some real difficulty that arose from that. Second of all, children tend to have more trouble, particularly adolescent children. And again, as stated earlier in this report, fathers have been shown to be particularly salient in children's adolescent and later development. They become increasingly important to children's development as the children age and get older. And so there were some developmental delays that were noticed, difficulty in educational settings and performing at school, an increase in delinquency, all those types of things. So let's consider, besides just the war and some of these initial things that were discovered, some of the other reasons that fathers may be absent from therapy in particular, but families in general. If we refer back to our decision tree of when to involve fathers in therapy, we start with, first of all, is he present in the family? And the main reason for father absence these days tends to be divorce and an acrimonious relationship between father and mother. Fathers tend to find themselves unable to overcome that hurdle of their failed relationship with the mother. And oftentimes, just through the bias of our own court systems, have difficulty gaining appropriate visitation and just rights to spend time with their children. So, in some instances, it's merely a matter of not being able to gain access to the children, or more likely to have simply removed themselves from the picture. Going down further down the left side of our chart here, where there's abuse, fathers can often be removed from the family by our court system or due to mental health illness. So sometimes their fathers are taken out because they're unfit for parenting. Again, the toxic relationships with mom. Mental and physical illnesses can take a pretty heavy toll on a father's ability to participate in his family and to be present for his children. Certainly chronic debilitative diseases will diminish and eventually remove a father from a family. And mental illnesses in which a father may be required to be institutionalized or is only able to function at a very low level will also perhaps not remove him physically from the family, but remove some of those positive effects, his ability to be a breadwinner, a role model, those type of things, from his relationship with his children, or at least diminish it. Your treatment plan will very much be dovetailed together with the particular reasons for a father being absent. In an incidence where there's this type of debilitation in the family, a clinician would want to consider finding ways to keep the memories of father's presence, to have him be a figurative leader, where he may not be able to do some of those same things, but he can still, in symbol at least, represent his role and be supported by mom as still being present, still being a symbol of what he does, even when perhaps other men or relatives or social services something are picking up the slack for what he is physically unable to do. So let's review a little bit further some of these reasons for dad's absence. We've mentioned illness and death, spousal conflict. Incarceration is one that's sometimes overlooked and has only recently begun to be looked at in the literature. Randall Day is, and some other researchers from England and places have begun to do some wonderful work to look at the effect of incarceration on fathering and how fathers make the transition coming out of jail and working their way back into families. And that's an important one to consider. Again, although a father is not permanently gone, maybe temporarily removed from the family. Another one that is not on the list here, but it is also certainly present for many families in the Manhattan community and in any military community around the nation at this time, would be deployment, of course. Certainly a temporary absence in most cases, but one in which fathers are, with the exception of perhaps still providing a paycheck, have quite some difficulty doing much more than writing letters or being home for, a short leave in the midst of a deployment. Looking further at some of these temporary absences, let's talk about ways in which we can tie our treatment plans directly to the cause for a father's absence. Any parent, whether a father is present in the home or not, needs a support network. is part of the larger community around them. You know, thinking ecologically about the family, it's not just the mom and the dad that have an effect on children. Certainly their participation in school, their peer network, et cetera, is going to have some effect on that family. And in times of stress and the additional workload that is added to any single parent, be it fathers or mothers, we need to help that individual tap into that support network and still have available to them the necessary resources to helping their family to function. Uncles, neighbors, you know, church or community support are all wonderful resources for a family in which the father is temporarily absent. Oftentimes it is grandparents or other relatives who will come and give mom a break for a while, can spend some time with the kids, perhaps mentoring them, being that male role model for the adolescent children, or helping kind of establish the law and support mom in her role, give her some time simply to keep the house in order and do those things so that she can have a little greater confidence in herself, feel better, and thus have a greater ability to interact with her children and to maintain control or an appropriate level of discipline in the home. In the example of someone who in the military, where the father is absent due to a deployment, there are military support groups that are helpful, family readiness groups, and simply other moms in the same unit, or perhaps families of military buddies who that particular soldier works with can be a wonderful resource. They can offer some empathy that a therapist may have difficulty providing. It can help a therapist gain insight into what it's like for these moms, perhaps form something of a support group for one another. Provide each other with a bit of a break by spending some time with the kids, or simply coming and being present, helping mom not to be so alone. Wife of a deployed husband recently mentioned to me that the time that was most difficult for her when her husband was deployed were the evening hours. When she was just kind of left alone to her thoughts. Those hours when she would typically be spending time with her husband and have him to talk and interact with after the kids are gone to bed. And she said it was really difficult to deal with those quiet hours. And so having moms do things like identify those type of difficulties that may lead to loneliness or depression, perhaps something of a feeling of helplessness, can be a good place to start in your treatment planning and attaching this treatment plan to the reasons for father's absence and the particular effects of that. A family in that situation may not be having trouble financially. They still have, again, those resources coming from dad. But they don't necessarily... the emotional burden may be greater. So, looking at what that particular cause is and working to tie your treatment plan to that. Of course, in any case, you want to work collaboratively with the family, and they'll be your best source of information for what particular difficulties they're having at that time. That's temporary absences. What about and the nice thing about temporary absences is you only need to come up with short-term solutions. It's not a forever battle that mom is fighting raising adolescents alone. In the case of permanent absence, death, or you know, incurable mental illness, something of that nature, you're most likely first going to have to work through just the difficulty of the loss of father's presence. Sometimes even years after a father has physically left the picture, the family is still really struggling and having difficulty coping with the fact that he is no longer present in the family. So some grief and loss issues that you'll want to approach most likely first in your treatment plan for permanent absences. Mom is going to need some more permanent solutions to providing role models for the children. She'll more than likely be developing a career of her own and working to balance her work life and home life. There'll be some additional difficulty with simply having to work that second shift when she gets home. She'll have to go through all the rigors of a regular work day, but is not likely to be able to afford a maid and a cook and all of that help that, you know, all of those things that moms usually do in the home. So she'll have to kind of work double time just to perform the roles of both parents in that case. And also in this case, sometimes it's important to watch for, or in any case of parental absence, be it father or mother, research shows that it's important for parents to be there sort of at the crossroads at times when children come and go. And that, you know, for example, one of the greater difficulties that latchkey kids have been shown to have has been in those unsupervised hours prior to a parent returning home from work and after school. That kind of tends to be the time when they get in the most trouble and lack the most direction. So finding ways to maintain a parent's ability to monitor their children. Technology offers some wonderful resources for this. And simply maintaining contact through cell phones or perhaps a home security system, which will show mom the comings and goings of her children. Some kind of a behavior chart is often useful, but maintaining mom's ability to monitor her children, to show the importance of her gaining, using that support network to maintain her roles and to just kind of keep an even keel. There's quite a bit of difficulty in having these kind of things. This next slide is a list of the major issues for those families without dads. Kind of boil it down for you. Starting really from the bottom up, I've talked a little bit about delinquency, mothers maintaining their monitoring, or having someone to support their role to maintain some order in the home. School performance is an important one. Fathers often have a lot to do with mentoring their children in their academic life and maintaining structure and the appropriate support that children need. So possibly some tutoring. Again, looking for those surrogate fathers, maybe a big brother, big sister type program where we can enlist some individuals to participate in the children's schooling, to encourage them, help them see the long-term effects of that and the importance of maintaining good grades, learning and knowing good things. When it comes to social and emotional development, the children's ability to interact with others is oftentimes bolstered by dad's presence in the home. And so finding ways, again, to pay, perhaps compensate for that, to look for surrogate fathers and to have them fulfill that role in their own way and in a way that is comfortable for the family, that feels natural to them. Financial support and again, that support of mom's role, the last two main issues. When it comes to financial trouble, we have a social welfare system that that is present, but also looking to much more long-term solutions. Again, helping mom to work out a way to balance those different roles, to garner the support of friends and family and those around her in order to develop a way to support her family and still be present and available in the home. It's important to kind of consider these issues separately and look at ways to deal with them. But notice also the linkage between these. Support for mom having to do with her ability to monitor, having to do with children's school performance, getting their homework done, and it's simply keeping the children from being delinquent. There seems to be something of a pattern there where once those first dominoes fall, the rest seem to be close thereafter. So it may be important or helpful also in working with families where the father's permanently absent to kind of set those dominoes up for yourself. Take a look at where they are, which ones have yet to fall, or if they've all fallen, consider a logical way of what to establish first. Sometimes we spend a lot of time putting out brush fires, trying to get the kids to stop being delinquent or to improve their school performance, when what we really need to do is garner some good support for mom, help her get out of financial trouble so that she can have the time to do the monitoring, to make sure the children do well. And when we work with those key areas, then the other sort of items on our list, the other important parts of what dad does, follow quickly thereafter. So in general then, when considering father's absence, remember those key points. First of all, that we need to look at the reason for father's absence, entire treatment plan, to meeting the family's needs that fall from those. If it's a temporary absence, if we still have income, then you don't want to spend a lot of time dealing with that if it's not something that is salient for that particular family. Once you've tied your treatment plan to those things, review it for sort of those domino effects, that linkage of mom's and dad's roles, how they tie together, and what those are connected to in the children, namely things like their school performance, their social-emotional development. So that's the long and the short of working with fathers or with families where the fathers are either temporarily or permanently absent. I hope you've found that to be helpful.